Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Project Independence and You Community Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. I'm your host, Rebecca Miller, and co-host today is Otto Loos. And of course, our wonderful radio show producer, Christina Liu. We've been talking to Mike Utaro, who's the first assistant chief fire marshal at Nassau County.
Soon to be the chief.
Yes, next week.
Next week.
Yes, next week.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Want to hear about, I really want to hear a lot more about senior safety, but you know, to get to this point, you have dedicated obviously your life and career to what you do. So, you know, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your services.
And congratulations.
And congratulations.
You report to who? Laura?
The county executive. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. She's going to be on right after you.
Oh yeah. Okay. Tell her, said hello. She's been very good to the fire service, I have to say. I'm excited about the promotion. It's been a lot of work, but I get to work with a lot of great people, and it truly gets you here. You don't do it by yourself, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, as far as to get back to your questions about safety, the portable fire extinguishers, as Otto had mentioned, it's not a bad thing to have in the home. Just make sure that it's always in a readily accessible place that you know. Make sure it's not too heavy to lift. Some folks go out and get this big 20-pound fire extinguisher, and now you can't lug it around and bring it to where you need it when you have an emergency. We consider this as a first aid appliance. Like if you cut your finger, you put a Band-Aid on it. If you continue to bleed, you might have to go to the hospital. The same should be thought of with this. First of all, if you have a fire in your home, before you do anything else, make sure the fire department's notified. If you share the home with somebody, yell to them, call the fire department. Make sure help is on the way. Too many people don't do that. They're embarrassed. They have a fire in the house. God, I don't want anyone to see this. This is embarrassing. All the fire trucks in the street. Make sure the fire department's notified. If you have a portable fire extinguisher and you can give a quick shot to a fire on your stove, a fire in a bedroom, on a bed, maybe a fire outside, maybe your barbecue is on fire. That's great. If you can get the fire knocked down, wonderful. If you can't get that knocked down in the first couple of seconds, it's time to leave the house. It's time to evacuate. Tell the fire department. The best thing you could do is tell them, number one, everybody's out of the house and safe. And number two, where is the fire? And let them do the job they're trained to do and get in there. And I promise you, if you call them early enough, they will get in there and they'll take care of that fire and knock it out for you.
Mike, is smoking still the number one cause of house fires, if you will?
I wouldn't say it's the number one cause. One of the biggest causes is, especially in the winter months, is the use of space heaters and electrical fires. Right. Smoking is still something. If you're going to smoke, make sure you... They make lots of devices that you can safely dispose of a cigarette. You know, a coffee cup on the end table is not the best way. Another thing that's been done, I've seen too many fires that have caused by this. If you're on oxygen, smoking is not something that's an option. And people make that mistake sometimes. It's, you know, it's a habit. It's a tough habit to kick. It's something some people enjoy, especially if they're by themselves. But it's a very dangerous thing to do. But smoking, you know, again, make sure you're not laying down, that you're going to fall asleep. Make sure you properly dispose of those cigarettes when they're out. You know, dump some water on them, put them in a metal container that contains them. But as far as safety and common causes of fires in the home, which I'm sure people are interested in, we have a fire investigations division that when a fire does occur, these men and we have one lady who's fantastic. They go out in the field, they dig out the fire, and they find out where the cause and what caused it. I find it fascinating. I'm not that talented when it comes to that field, but these men and women that are in the division do a phenomenal job. We have actually two dogs that are arson detection dogs. They detect and smell accelerants that helps us prosecute arson cases. Leah and Pilot, So we're lucky to have two dogs here in the office. But the common causes that they see and they tell me, which I was just speaking to them earlier before I was coming on your show, space heaters. Never leave them unattended. Make sure there's no loose bedding, especially if you get cold at night and you like to have one in your room. They make units that when they tip over, they automatically shut down, which is a great feature. Make sure they're not too close to your bed, too close to your couch, someplace where you may knock the blanket off and it or sheet and lands on the unit. Make sure that your pets are away from it. Pets can become a problem because they get excited. They knock something over that wasn't knocked over and it lands on the space heater. You should have at least 5 feet from anything that could burn around that space heater. Never use extension cords. Too many people say, I can't reach the outlet, so let me put this extension cord on the space heater. Let me plug it into a power strip. Those are fateful mistakes. Those constantly have problems with, you know, melting and burning. They overload the rating on those extension cords. So those are not something to use. Another common cause is, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
I'm sorry, the kitchen. So as seniors get older and sometimes they wind up living alone, they stop using their oven and they'll sometimes store stuff in the oven, number one. And also they start using the toaster oven for their main source of heating up because they're just cooking for themselves. And I have had two toaster oven fires myself. What's your feeling on those toaster ovens? And, you know, also one of the things we talk about a lot is if it a fire or, you know, they're hurt. The house has to be accessible. You have to be able to get into the house. So, you know, things have to be out of the way, clear paths, that kind of a thing. So I'm interested to know your, you know, kind of advice for that kind of kitchen safety and also, you know, when you have you experienced, you know, entering a house that, you know, maybe be a little cluttered or things that you should never really keep around, like too many newspapers, that kind of thing.
The start off with the toaster ovens, you know, a lot of people rely on them. We have them in my house as well. They are a heating appliance. They're like a space heater, although they're contained. So again, you want to make sure that you have some separation. You don't want to have the paper towel dispenser right next to it or keep towels or boxes. So you want to keep some separation. The unit puts off heat. All you have to do is put your hands near it and you'll feel the heat coming off of it. Maintenance of the device. They're inherently very safe units to operate, to toast or make something small to eat. The biggest reason a lot of times fires occur within the unit is the drippings and the things that land on the crumb plate. Make sure you keep that clean, you know, empty it out at least once a week, scrape it off, make sure it's nice and clean. Maybe put a piece of tin foil down there so that it's easier just to pick up and get rid of that. That's usually what starts the fire. And then it sets fire to whatever's cooking. And the next thing you know, you have a big problem. And as far as accessibility, very important to make sure you always, number one, when you call the fire department and you say, I live at 43 Jones Street, you want to make sure that the number 43 is displayed outside your house. Too many times people have that obscured. It's covered by bushes. It fell off the wall and you didn't put it back up. Make sure it's out there somewhere so the fire department can find your address. And as far as entering, lots of folks, including my mom, when she was with me, she loved to keep different things. She liked her magazines. She liked different crafts. She did a lot of knitting, so she had boxes of yarn. That's all well and great. Keep it organized. Make sure there's adequate paths for you to move around your own home. Make sure that it's not on top of wires. Make sure you don't have furniture pressed against wires. That does cause wires to short circuit. But try to keep your home, your garage, your premise, the area where you're living in as orderly a condition as possible. And I'm sure through great organizations and programs like Project Independence, if you need help, I'm sure there's someone you can reach out to help you get rid of some garbage, organize some stuff. We don't come upon these homes too often, but when we do, we try to let the local government know about it. We even offer them help. We have smoke detectors here, things we talked about. If you don't have a smoke detector for yourself, there's programs out there, there's veterans programs, the fire marshal ourselves. We had a news conference with our county executive following that tragic fire in Garden City. We maintain, we don't have thousands of smoke detectors, but we maintain a decent quality, decent quantity here. So if you don't have one in your home, and don't be shy, if you can't afford it, people have difficult times, give us a call. We don't put your name in the newspaper. We don't broadcast it. We'll deliver a device to you. If you have trouble installing it, we'll reach out to the local fire department. We'll help you get that device installed so you have some safety in your own home.
I had a personal experience this week that led me to thinking about the show. I was at a hotel. I still do a little bit of a business thing. I was at a hotel first time in a year and a half in Deptford, New Jersey. And all of a sudden, 3 o'clock in the morning, this week this happened, the fire alarm goes off and bing, 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 you know, and it comes out pretty loud in a hotel. And all of a sudden, people are banging on the door, get out of your room. This is 3 o'clock in the morning. So you get out for that kind of thing at 3 o'clock in the morning. So first thing, okay, I put my pants on, my shoes on. And in my case, I stick my hearing aids in my ear and away I go. And now we're outside and we had to stay outside until the fire department arrived, which they did, the volunteers in Deptford, New Jersey. And where I was going with this is all of a sudden there's a bunch of people standing out in the parking lot at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we were there till about 3:45. And I'm looking around at how people, a lot of people had their luggage with them. And, you know, the mental preparedness for how to handle that. It turns out that there was no fire. It turns out that somebody was smoking in the hallway and set off the smoke detectors for the whole hotel. And, it was a whole different experience. But my point is that people like me, who are not experienced in that whole thing, which is most of us, all of a sudden you're in a situation where you have to react. And, you know, to react, some people didn't come out. They came out to the parking like 25 minutes later. And I'm saying if there was a real fire, they would have been in hot water. You know, so how do you mentally, you know, you mentally have to be prepared almost to handle an emergency, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing you can do with that is we tell everybody, and this goes for when you go to a restaurant or any place that you're not familiar with. I do a class for fire safety for our codes about historic fires like Coconut Grove and the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire and things that resulted in, many people, many fatalities. One of the most important things you could do, like in your instance, is when we get on an airplane, you sit there and you get the world famous, safety speech from the flight attendants. They tell you where your exits are. Believe it or not, simple thing like going to a wedding event, a restaurant, a hotel, like you were talking about, know where your exits are, know where two of them are. So most people react. The Rhode Island fire that killed over 100 people. One of the biggest things that we found after people studied it was that a lot of people commonly go in the front door, and when a problem happens, they're going to go for the door they're familiar with, which was the door they entered through. But meanwhile, there's exits nearby. That fire, if you remember the horror of that, there were a lot of people jammed and piled up by the front door, and it was a horrible, horrible thing to have to witness and see and the video of it. But they found that there were three other exits that were almost not used whatsoever, and nobody thought to go to those exits because they were panicking, they were going to the exit that they were familiar with. So when you're staying at a place, be familiar about your exits, wear something warm, you may have to get outside safely, and realize that if the alarm's going off, don't worry about what everyone else is doing, and you were right in worrying about yourself. You get your pants on, you put your hearing aids in, you get outside to safety, and you wait for direction from people.
Thank you, Mike, so much. I'm sorry, but we have to go to a break. Thank you so much for joining us today and all the really, really important information you provided. We will be right back, and you're listening to Project Independence in You on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.